If you run a company or manage a team, hiring qualified people quickly can make or break your business. Imagine a position of need going unfilled for weeks or even months because you just can't seem to find the right candidate. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. This makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts. You only pay for results on your job post. Just in the last minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data, worldwide. Now that is fast. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Go to Indeed.com/BWN right now to support this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler. On the YouTube, so we got to do this for my buddy because my buddy Grant Bills is here, Paul Emig.
Hello.
I got a buddy who like just noticed that when people are doing the two-man shot in like a booth and one guy's talking, the other guy will do the thing where like they look at the guy into the camera to acknowledge the viewer.
I sent you guys that message when, because the most awkward with it.
It's not you though. It's somebody else.
No, I know. Yeah. But I'm saying it like Burkhard is so bad at it. It's so awkward. It's so forced.
Yeah.
It's like someone has to go to him and say like, all right, so what we're going to do tomorrow, Kevin, is we're going to do this for 10 hours. And that's what we're doing. We're going to make you look less crazy when you have to do the look at your partner, nod politely that you're listening, look at the people at home, give them the eye contact without making their skin crawl.
They can't do it. I remember when I was working news, like it was so, the anchors were just so intentional about it that it was like they just, it was the first thing that, or the last thing they were told before they got on the stage. And the other thing that makes me mad with TV news is like when they do their sad voice.
Oh,
like, and tragically, all 100 parrots were decapitated. Very sad story indeed. Well, coming up, it should be a sunny weekend for your, you know, it's like.
Is that an Arrested Development bit where it's like what it means for your weekend after?
Yeah, it is.
That's from Arrested, right? That's what I thought.
What it means for your weekend at 10.
One of the guys when I was doing TV news, he was sitting around the newsroom and he goes, "We need something like really bad to happen." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Oh, it's just boring around here. Same old, same old. We need like something." And he's like the last person on earth I would think would ever say this. But he's like, "I'm just so bored reading the same shit every day." Well, your job, though, is 20 minutes at a desk. It doesn't matter if you're reading about cupcake recipes or an industrial plant fire. Like, you stop doing that, Grant.
Sorry.
The awkward stare at the show.
Well, because most of the show, I'm looking forward. Paul's looking forward. Grant's at his side.
Yeah.
So when Grant does look ahead.
I don't like staring into the camera. I don't like it. I understand why it. I understand it, but
It's frightening. Anyway. All right. Well, got a bit of Bucks news to start the program with today, and that is that Bobby Portis is suspended for 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy. The criminals took a lot of stuff from him. Perhaps they should have took his drugs.
What?
Remember he got robbed?
Oh, right.
He's having a hell of a year.
So if you're like, why is it 25 and then other players can beat up human people and it's only 10? Yeah. That does suck. This is CBA determined. So like that, the other stuff I think is, you know, Silver just being like, well, you know, roll the wheel and whatever many games it lands on, that's how many you miss.
Yeah.
But these are with the drugs, there's direct violations. They have done the normal thing that everybody does and says, I didn't mean to do it. I suppose I believe that the drug is, what was the drug called?
Well, Toradol. Something with a T. There's two ones with a T.
Tramadol
and Toradol.
There you go.
There was an emergency physician that I saw on Twitter say Tramadol is the weakest painkiller we can prescribe. I often don't bother because the effects are so mild. If it's banned, it's banned, but, you know, whatever. So Bobby unintentionally took a pain medication. He thought he was taking Toradol, but he took Tramadol.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, that makes sense to confuse him.
It does.
So now he's out 25 games.
How many games have left? Is it 28? What's the number?
I think we get two games with him left.
Okay.
So now the Bucks are already, you know, a team that is a hard time with everybody on the court at the same time.
Yeah. They're
trying to work in coups. Portis has been playing well, so you want to see what that's going to give you. Giannis has been hurt. Dame's been hurt. I just, you know, from a father perspective, Paul, how am I supposed to, when I take my kid to the game next week, how am I supposed to look at him and say, son, there's no Bobby Portis because he accidentally took Tramadol instead of Toradol? And Bobby's one of the three guys he knows. He knows Dame, and he'll do this. He'll do the Dame time.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows, of course, Giannis, who we saw again last night.
Nice.
But it was just a quick in and out at swimming. But my kid goes, hey, that's Giannis without Bucks jersey. Also, he's the only tall person he ever sees.
Makes sense.
In real life.
Yeah.
And Bobby Portis. So I want to make sure that, you know, Giannis is going to be on the floor, but no Bobby. I don't know. I don't know what this does for the Bucks. I don't know where to.
It's another like, is it another sign? Like, is this just a sign?
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's someone, if you're like, I would bet the Bucks to win a title unless God sends me a sign.
Yeah.
God's, he's put a construction blinking red and orange light in your front yard saying, don't do it.
Yeah. Don't bet that. Yeah, it's a sign. I don't really know what it does. Again, I'm relatively on Bucks standards anti, but I'm on the anti Bobby side of the Bobby thing. But if you're going to be playing multiple games without, they already did, without Giannis in the Kuzma era, if we're calling it an era with Kuzma, and then you're going to go through all this time, like you just can't develop rotations. And then, like, as a friend of mine sent me earlier today with Jericho Sims just accidentally became important at work. Like Doc didn't want to play him. Now he's going to have to.
So why do we trade for him?
Because he wasn't. I don't know.
Question John Horst.
Because he's not DeLon Wright. I don't know. Maybe that's as basic of an
answer. NBA. Do the GMs do what we do in fantasy? Like, dude, I'm bored. You want a guy for my fourth round pick? Okay.
Did the Bucks send the Knicks cash too? I mean, it was a small amount, but I think it was like DeLon Wright in cash.
I hope so. That's about all Jimmy Haslam is good for. So
no, but seriously, Haslam just saved $1.5 million today with this Bobby suspension.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay him game checks now?
Correct.
Interesting. I think that the impact is like you need to navigate 25 regular season games now and you're missing 26 to 28 minutes. And he was reliable and he can give you a certain amount of shot. Like you just need volume, right? Like it becomes a little bit of a math problem. Like baseball, it's like we need this number of at-bats. We need this many runs. Like, basketball is not exactly the same, but to get through the regular season and to try to keep everyone fresh and healthy, like that's a 25. He can play 30 minutes or more if you're missing a starter. Like that's kind of a bummer to be missing him. And 25 games seems a little much.
Like I know like the agent's statement today was, though, here's the circumstances. We, you know, yeah, begrudgingly, he didn't say begrudgingly, but it was essentially like, begrudgingly, we accept the NBA's whatever. It's like, why? Why was it just like, yeah. Like, we accept this penalty. It's like, that's there's a logic gap here with NBA suspensions in general. Like, if my assistant, of course I have one, accidentally gave me this one Teodol word drug, and then it was supposed to be this other Teodol word. Like, oops. Like,
not only is it 25 for the first time, all right. Now, if he makes another like mistake, it's 55 games.
Is that right? Goes to 55 next.
Yeah, and then I think you're donezo.
It's just a painkiller, isn't it? It's not like it's HGH.
Right. There's just not weird. There's not like the gray area of.
Thanks, LeBron.
Well, that's why for Bobby Portis, if he's really looking to numb some of the pain.
Oh, wow. What a transition. Oh, you just did that.
And if he's really looking to alleviate some of the concerns, might I suggest to him, Happy Place Hemp and some of the gummies and the tinctures available at Happy Place Hemp. That's right. I used it when I thought I had gout, and I rubbed that lotion right on my gout area, which I'm simucasting or simulating here, and it's starting to groin me up a little bit, so I will stop. But the CBD, the CBN, the THC, again, you don't have to get in your car and drive anywhere. They will ship it right to your house. You can visit them in Muskego. Muskego, closer to the Milwaukee area than a Michigan. So you can still get what you are looking for. And the seltzer's a big hit. The seltzer's a big hit. For a guy like me who's trying to drink alcohol less, this is a nice alternative to still enjoy my weekends because that's where I'm at. HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order. So every time you order from them, you're like, hey, Bart's talking about Happy Place Hemp again. It's a great code, but I've already used it. You can use it again. It's a great code, but I've already used it 15 times. You can use it a 16th time. Promo code is BART at happyplacehemp.com. The other Bucks-related situation. So yesterday there was a quote where Giannis said the Bucks would have to kick him out. Is it in terms of, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to ask for a trade. Today on ESPN, Shams was on TV suggesting that Giannis will look elsewhere if the Bucks can't reach sustained long-term winning. And I feel like this is calculated. If there's ever a Giannis story where he says, literally says with his mouth, his desire or lack of a desire to force an issue or to leave, there's always an NBA reporter that will then use a source or a quote that's not just from his mouth to say something different. And I want to get to the bottom of this. And I tried when I talked to my colleague, Bill Ryder, who chose to take it personal instead of the broad question I was asking him. Because everyone does seem to, like, as soon as Doc was 1-3, here's the Doc articles. As soon as Giannis says, I want to stay, here's the Giannis articles.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why there's so much smoke. And it does, like, we're small town Milwaukee guys. We're a mark or an easy mark for many years. You know, basically I felt like my morning show was, you'll never guess what Colin Cowherd said about your favorite team.
Yeah.
You'll never guess what Stephen A. Smith said about your favorite team. And we're just giving more oxygen because they know that we'll bite. With this Bucks thing, it feels different. It just feels like this is, I don't understand why they do it. And maybe they're right. Maybe Giannis does want to leave. But how many times has this happened where Giannis is still here? So I don't quite understand why you don't even get 12 hours to like be happy about your guy because, you know, then this garbage is out again.
Again, and meanwhile, I don't think it's selection bias, local bias to say, was there ever if the Mavericks don't this, Luka's going to get out, like Luka's going to be traded. Like it doesn't happen with Jokic. But the thing that doesn't confuse me, as someone who in Packer beat writer days had to see a story that someone else got a report on and then have to just write about it. Like you'd rather have the information yourself that you would rather have Giannis tell you the one reporter, they're going to have to kick me out of here one day. It sucks having to be like, Giannis told this other reporter. But like, you can still build on that. You don't have to go directly to the far other side of it and say, despite this comment that came from the player's mouth, I'm going to contradict that and say I know more than what the player literally just told a different reporter yesterday. It's a bad climate, but ESPN got the hits first on TV. They got to do a social clip out of it. They got to enrage Bucks fans, and that's how you get more clicks, and that's
unfortunate. Is it to enrage Bucks fans, or is this to, like, salivate Knicks fans?
You know what? Actually, that's – you're actually fans, probably more, more accurate. Yes. Good counterpoint.
It's just, how is this satiating anyone at this point? It's been how many actual years? Like, what, 4 years, 5 years? Like, this shit has been – don't they ever get tired of this?
And again, I would even rather, like, I say all this as if it's like, no, you need to let Giannis retire here if he wants to retire here. I don't want the 36-year-old Giannis-led Bucks to be, like, contending for the play-in.
You don't want what happened with Dirk.
Right. Well, I guess I'd have to go back and look at the win-loss records in those final 5 years. But,
sure.
Like, I hope they win one more title, obviously. Two more, shit. But, like, at a certain point,
I'd love to win another first-round series. We can talk about a title.
So that shit goes back to something I want to say about...
With any of our teams.
No shit. Yeah. Just with any of them, yeah.
That goes actually back to the Bobby thing. It's like, okay, is he the... You know, Bobby Portis is the Bucks' fifth most important player. Mm-hmm, or is one of the five most important players for the playoffs. Mm-hmm, or mm-mm.
Well, playoffs versus regular season is different. I think he's close in both conversations.
So my point
is, he's ahead of Brooke. Brooke sucks.
I love how anti-Brooke you've become. I love it in the sense that it's interesting to listen to your anti-Brookeness, which I...
He's just bad. He's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
I love him.
I would say, like, when you were saying, like, is this just, like, a sign that they're not going to be able to do it this year? It's like, the Bucks aren't such a powerhouse that they can do, like, what they did in the bubble, for example, what they did the year after that, too, where it's you get a really bad Orlando Magic team. You very handily win 4-0 or 4-1. Bobby can work his way back into basketball playing shape, into playoff shape. They can get some reps on the court. The Bucks aren't good enough to, like, show up to a first round series and get their legs under them, get their chemistry together. It's not going to happen.
I've thought for years that they were.
And they
were. I realize they're not.
For a few years, they were good enough to sleepwalk through a first round. They're not right now. And the East just has a couple other better teams. Like, if especially when what are the Bucks seeded right now?
I was talking about the Phil Jackson's got this 40-20 rule.
Okay.
Where if you the only true contenders are teams that win 40 games before they lose 20.
Okay.
And since he declared this in 2008, every champion has been that team that they've won 40 before they lost 20, except for the Bucks.
What?
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the teams that would fall into that this year are the Cavs, the Thunder, and likely the Celtics.
Yeah.
And I got to think, if there's anybody that's an NBA fan, if you take those three teams or the field, I mean, to win the title, you're taking one of those three teams.
For sure.
I think people are going to, you know, well, the Cavs, I mean, we're not, and the Thunder are still, but they are the two best teams.
Yeah.
But the Celtics, you know, the Bucks can turn it on. I always said that. I was always wrong. The Celtics can, though. They are a team that can decide to just start caring a little more. And I would say I agree with that. I still, like, I think the Knicks are a fun dark horse. You know, the West could be wild. We'll see, but the Lakers probably have more problems than, you know, still more questions than answers. I don't know. Draymond thinks the Warriors are going to win, so I'm going to put $10 on that. But
I think the Warriors would be the most interesting team to come out of the West. Them or the Thunder. I'm not anti-Thunder. I just, the Thunder, until proven otherwise, are the early Budenholzer Bucks. It's like stacked, young, deep, can win a ton of regular season games, but then in a 7-game sample against teams with real star power or real experience, like, it's a little different. And I think we saw that with them last year too. So I don't know. It feels like the Celtics year again, and it feels like they'll win, and it will be the least followed and watched and talked about NBA playoffs in a long time if that happens.
Like, if it's a Thunder Cavs 7?
I don't think the Cavs, I don't take the Cavs serious. Well, they're good. I take them seriously, but I think the Celtics are going to have a very similar run like they had last year. I know they haven't been perfect, but I don't know.
So if your life's on the line, who do you take right now?
Celtics. And it sucks. I don't want to, but Celtics.
Yeah, that probably feels like the safe bet. Well, how far do you think the Bucks go? You know what I got to start doing? I'm so tired of having predictions. I lose so much money on things that I like. The real things that I believe, like I was on the air last February after their big losing streak saying Detroit's making the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I got no evidence of that. I didn't do anything with it. Yeah, I can say it now, but no one gives a shit.
It's like Blackout Wednesday or the golden age of Brewers baseball.
Which I invented and we invented.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, who was going to watch 30 Rock for the first time? Bart, was that you?
No, I was going to do a rewatch.
I would like to watch it for the first time, but I am so deep in Deadliest Catch right now to the point it might be months until I emerge to watch anything else. So
Deadliest Catch without the crabs.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is a really good cartoon Marvel just put out, and that was good.
Is it good?
Yes.
Okay.
It's good. Like it's
like is it like similar to the Across the Spider-Verse and Into the Spider-Verse movies?
No, it's just another retelling of Spider-Man.
Okay. Is it like 5-6 age year old appropriate, or is it more like teen?
It's probably a little older because there's like a storyline to follow.
Okay. There's not just this.
So I think you still got to be watching your friend. I think you still got to watch Amazing Friends.
Sure.
This, I was going to have him watch, but there's not enough, you know, there's a little more Peter Parker than there is Spidey.
Sure. So you're watching it.
Well, I watched it. It's a good show.
Okay.
And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but they were going to like do it as if it was a prelude to Tom Holland's Spider-Man. And then they just ran into so many speed bumps. Mm-hmm. So now they live in a world where all the Avenger stuff happened, but instead of Tony Stark being the mentor to Spidey, it's Norman Osborn.
Oh, okay.
Who's Green Goblin.
By the way, I had a strange thought the other day because I watched that video of Tom Holland being unable to buy his own like near zero beer. And I thought, obviously he seems like a really like genuine, nice celebrity type guy, right? And I was thinking like and he was interviewed, besides from the Tiger thing, I saw him like interviewed outside of an airport. Like, you know, like when I say interviewed, I mean like guy with a phone asking questions and then posting online type of thing. And I was thinking like, if you were with your kid who knows that Tom Holland is Peter Parker, Spider-Man, he seems like, I'm going to put like a 90% chance that he'd be like, can you just be Peter? Like, and then he would do it. What do you think? You think Tom Holland would like play in that? Like if you're a 6-year-old who doesn't,
I don't know. I mean, I see Giannis every week and barely say hi to him. So
no, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if your kid ran up to him and said like, Peter, that Tom Holland would be like,
he would probably be like, hey,
I kind of think he would.
Yeah.
These are things I contemplate.
Cause if you started talking British, the kid would be like, Spidey.
Right. It would be,
you're not from Queens.
Yeah. As he's like,
or Brooklyn.
Yeah. I'm just on my way to grab my knee. I'm not going to try to my beer, my non-zero, my no alcohol beer.
You got anything for us today? Fine, sir.
Well, I just want to circle back to the thing about like the serious voice.
Oh,
I tried to slide it in earlier, but you had moved on. But I'm going to circle back and just say the best serious voice that's ever happened in the history of TV came from one Michael Cole, who reporting on Jerry Lawler's injury said, and Bart, you're going to know this clip, I think, where he goes, and also, I'm afraid I have to report that Jerry Lawler is also suffering from anal bleeding. And Booker T goes, what? Do you know this clip?
Yeah, because Vince McMahon just wanted to hear him say it.
He just wanted to hear him say anal bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have other topics. Here's okay,
I told him you had a bleeding rectum. You guys remember this scene from Curb? I just watched this episode. I think it's my favorite episode, the one with John Hamm.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead, Grant?
No, you want to get to the content. Go ahead.
No, I don't. I want to play the clip.
I'm with the chlorine.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Here we go. What?
We might as well play the clip.
Good.
Right?
information on Jerry the King Lawler that just came in a few moments ago. We understand that Jerry Lawler has bruised ribs, and with all due respect, he's also suffering from anal bleeding.
What?
What?
So Vince, you know, Vince was a menace to Michael Cole.
Yes.
Like Michael Cole's not shy about, I actually like my job for once. He's been there for 30 years.
Yeah. They've had him do a lot of really, really dumb stuff. But I don't think Booker T knew he was going to say that.
I don't think so either.
Which made the deadpan of what?
What?
After Michael Cole's trying to use serious face. And by the way, you know you're a WWE guy. If someone was to say local medical facility, and the person who you say that to knows exactly what you're talking about, you're talking to a wrestling fan or a WWE fan at the very least.
And they wouldn't say hospital.
Speaking of Michael Cole, though, you're not a wrestling fan if you call WWE wrestling, because he confirmed yet again that they're not a wrestling company.
They're not. They're sports entertainment.
No, they're a storytelling entity.
Oh, interesting.
This was his Netflix wanted us because we are a storytelling entity. All right. This comment is going to start directly for Bart, and then it's going to go to Grant. After reading the full Mark Attanasio quote, courtesy of Andrew Wagner, you would like to issue an apology to the Brewers and to Mark Attanasio. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
No. Well, okay. First of all, I didn't do anything wrong.
I'm not saying you did anything wrong. But you'd like so to apologize.
The Nightingale quote was, is my job to win a World Series, or is my job to provide a summer of entertainment and passion and a way for families to come together? Okay?
Yep.
So let me read the full quote, which I've got a lot to say about this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's happened since Yelich signed his contract? Do you foresee ever doing a deal like that again? Sure, yeah. It just has to be the right player at the right time in our life cycle. I thought about this a lot when we did the contract. It's great to have generational players that the fans can follow. We had Yount. But you get into the question of what is your job as a steward of baseball here? Is my job to win a World Series? And now everyone's going to say, oh, he doesn't want to win a World Series. But is my job to win a World Series, or is my job to provide a summer of entertainment and passion and a way for families to come together? Because you don't know when you sign someone. I decided that it was more so that when you would get Christian Yelich in a trade, how that would go into the fancy computer model that Matt Arnold has. So I'm committed to that. That's a lot of rambling.
End quote.
End quote. I don't think that the quote is different.
It's 100% different.
In what way?
Said, let me walk you through my journey with this quote. You sent it. I was aghast.
And first of all, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Everybody that is covering Mark Attanasio hears him say this. It's not on video. No one puts it in their articles. They all sit back and wait for Nightingale to edit it in a way or to use some. And then once he's got all this attention, here come, you know, the media, the local media, to save the Brewers ownership and say, actually, here's what he said. Where's the foresight to be like, this is an interesting quote. I understand it might get, you know, tangled. I want to show everybody what Mark's thinking. If you're going to defend Mark, if you're going to be so defensive of Mark, why aren't you offensive for Mark? You know what I'm saying?
Sure. But what I would say about what makes it different is, first off, I'm a very nerdy, purist, journalist type.
No.
Right. Shocking. What Bob Nightingale did, and not shocked, I'll borrow the Mike Heller to Brian Noe, and I'll say, not shocking that it was Bob Nightingale, but like, that is piss poor journalism. You cannot trim the middle.
I understand that.
It's bullshit. So like,
I could say, like, and you could clip this, I could say, and I'll be light about it, but I could say, there's one thing that I'll never say. I hate Paul Emick. But you could clip me going, I hate Paul Emick. I did say that, but it's not in the right context. One thing that bothers me, Mr. Journalist Man,
yeah,
is people will say something, and then they don't like the reaction to it, and then they'll say, well, you're taking me out of context. the fuck if I am. I'm relaying your words.
Without context.
No, no. Taking it out of context is like what I just did. There's the phrase you took it out of context has gotten really taken out of context.
You guys know what the ellipsis is? Like the dot, 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 right?
Yeah.
If you are in the middle of a thought as a person who is speaking, and then you take the, like, there was clearly sentence before the part that Nightingale took. There was sentence after the thing that Nightingale took. If you don't want to, if you want to, like, still skirt the lines of ethics, but you want to still put the quote out there, at the very least, to maintain some semblance of professionalism, in my opinion, you'd at least have to go dot, 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 insert the spot, dot, dot, dot at the end. You're saying there was things said before, there were things said after.
There were things said in the middle, too, by the way. There was also in the middle where he said, well, now people are going to say, I don't want to win a World Series.
Yeah, that, like, should have been in there.
It has to be in there.
It was in the middle.
That should have been in there, but I don't know, like, what I took from the short and the long, so the fake and the real, is that Mark is struggling with trying to figure out how he can best serve Brewers fans.
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree?
Yes.
He is struggling with how he can best serve Brewers fans. So he's thinking, and this is where I applaud them. And I do understand the argument, well, he could sell it tomorrow and, you know, make so much money. He doesn't have that money right now. He's putting whatever money he has into it. He's spending on other things. Should a sports owner only spend on the sports team? You know, these are all questions we can, you know, sift through. But I do believe that the Brewers are trying to put out a winner. I mean, they just had the manager and executive of the year.
Right.
Like, they're either trying or they're doing it on accident because it's all they've done the last couple of years is win.
Right. They're winning the Central. They're playing way above, you know, expectations and their talent. So I'm still going to go. And I've been saying essentially what Mark's saying, like, I don't think they're going to win a World Series, but I want a summer of entertainment and passion. To say that as a phrase in and of itself ruins the whole thing for me. Why is my owner thinking about the phrase summer of entertainment and passion? I know it's hard. Baseball's hard. I get it. It's small. I get it. I don't need, like, it's the same reason that we air these and I don't, like, put on my YouTube channel the conversations I have with the person who is my therapist right now, because you don't need to see them struggle through it. You want the end product.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Mark struggling through how hard it is to be an owner.
So, right. So let's do the PR side of this. If you're his PR person, you're like, fuck, like, don't, like, ah, like, you, I think a fan should appreciate the therapeutic dialogue that he's offering. I think it's really interesting. The thing that sucks is I think that full clip, the full quote, is a really interesting topic.
I do too.
It's a really interesting topic about ultimately what you hope to achieve. And again, if the Brewers are out of it by June, you can't give the people of Milwaukee who love your baseball team an entertaining summer of passion and whatever.
Because also do summer of passion.
Whatever. I mean, I'm just using his term. So my point is like passion. when he says that, a Brewers would be like, I really hope no one takes it out of context, you know, but like in the proper context of which it should be presented, you and anybody else should just be like, you know, yep, I would like to amend my hot take or my vitriol.
So I don't think I had a hot take, first of all.
But I'm not even saying you did, but I'm just saying like the general, and again, some of this I'm...
But I did rush to my basement to record about it at 2:30 in the morning. I did put out a video as soon as I got home.
Yeah.
I think I would have been more fired up about this if I didn't have to sit through an entire day of sports radio of other people losing their mind. Because by the time I went on the air at 4 yesterday, I'm like, man, okay, so, you know, like I was seeing Sparky go through it. I'm like, well, yeah, it's not a perfect quote, but Jesus Christ, like all they do is win the division and get in the playoffs. They should have beat the Mets last year. That's not on Mark. That's on Devin Williams, right? He's got to get Pete Alonso out or whatever. I'm with you, Paul. And that quote is a very interesting look into Yelich contract. And this is the way I read it. I'm not excusing the quote because it's kind of dopey and it's imperfect. But I think the full answer, the thought process behind, well, look, it's probably actually not what's best for our team to sign Yelich to that long-term deal. It's probably best to get the most out of him, trade him away, recoup our value, and move on. but Mark is talking about, forget summer of entertainment and passion. I think in the context of that long answer, he's saying, I mean, it's best to not sign those guys, but what am I supposed to tell my fans? Are they not supposed to have a guy? Are they not supposed to have...
Well, we had a guy and you traded him.
Who?
Josh Hader.
That's not the same. Stop. That's not the same.
So what? So you're just, you have a guy and you're going to... This isn't...
Kinda, yeah.
Okay. No. Yelich is not our guy.
He is.
Not as much as he's Mark's guy.
What does that mean?
Mark loves Yelich.
I do too.
Mark's son's his best friends with Yelich.
Sure.
I don't know.
He's not keeping him here for us. He's not keeping him here so he can miss half a season.
I think that's harsh.
I think that's harsh too.
Then why isn't Willy Adames here? Clear fan favorite. Where's Willy Adames then? That's your guy. That's the guy people are coming to see, and you let him go. Where's he?
No.
Yeah, I don't agree with this take.
I guess I kind of understand. No, I don't. I want to meet you halfway. I just don't agree with that. You can't keep everybody. The Brewers, they can kind of keep one guy. You know, one guy on a big time legit deal, that was Braun, and then they did the best around him, and now they're doing it with Yelich. And I think that dialogue from Mark is clunky and as kind of silly as that one particular quote was, and I don't love it. It's the thought process behind, well, how can I best serve the fans, but also try to do the smartest thing for our ball club and our budget and our resources. And yeah. I think that's interesting. And by the way, when he talks just that individual quote, am I trying to win a World Series or am I trying to have a, you know, an entertaining summer? I think the Brewers have told us and have shown us that those two goals are connected, right? The way that they think is best to contend for a World Series, agree or not, is to be in the mix every single summer, which they've done a great job of. So those two things are, do I want the fans to be engaged at the ballpark with a contending team every year? Or I want to try to win a World Series. It's the same. It's the same the way they've operated. They could change and they could start doing the all in, tear it down and rebuild thing.
Yeah.
But they've been so clear about the way they're trying to contend. Brewers fans, you don't have to like it, but it's not like they've kept it secret or tried to pull wool over your eyes about how they're going about this thing.
Yeah. And the good news is like their developmental system at this point is incredible. Like,
because Mark is invested a lot.
Yeah.
Scouting and development and analytics and facilities and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they're like the way that they're able to turn pitchers around with some of the stuff that they still apparently have been able to keep secret. I'm sure other teams have their own version of it. Like, are we correctly saying the name? Is it Jesus Made? Do we know how to say Jesus made?
I don't know.
But another potential Jackson Churio.
That's me, baby.
You are Jesus made. But like when this quote comes out, and then I'll jump off. You guys can keep going if you want, but I'll have to jump. But like, this is the type of thing where like I'll just read you like a friend's reaction to it when you get the clip, when you get the short version. I hate this squirrely shithead. He has ruined my enthusiasm for baseball.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is that being a Brewers fan these last 5 to 10 years would be more enjoyable if your owner never talked ever.
Yeah.
No in-game interviews. No bitch or BSing with you.
Then he's in an ivory tower and he doesn't explain this or that. Like, I don't know. What do Brewers fans want? You know what I mean? Like,
hot take fucking Jake, World Series.
I know that. I want that too. Hot take Jake called the other night and we were comparing, you know, would you rather do this thing? You try to sustain success. Or would you rather try to do what the Royals did? Okay. What the Royals did is great. And I would take that if you can guarantee me that they're going to get a title from it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But you can't guarantee that.
Yep.
Just like you can't guarantee a title the way they're doing it now. But like selfishly as a sports talk host, I would rather have them be good every year. You know what I mean? Rather than put all of our eggs in one basket for a 2 or 3 year run that may not result in dick. And a lot of times it doesn't result in dick. You know what I mean?
Yep. So maybe you or others don't necessarily owe the apology, but I think, you know, to my friend who sent that text and many others who expressed their opinions, like I didn't hear it, Grant, but if Sparky really did a whole show on...
He said he's out. I just saw on Twitter. But, I mean,
then Sparky, you would like to issue an apology to the Brewers and you had better say because you took a quote...
When Mark hasn't earned, like when you see a quote like that, even when it's from Bob Nightingale, the instinct isn't, oh, Nightingale must have fucked up. It's that, geez, Mark's being a cheap ass again.
I get that.
I don't know that this quote exonerates Mark, but it kind of explains why he would say that.
Yeah.
I thought his quotes, he talked about other things that I thought were way worse, where he's like, well, we have all our guys. We won the division last year. Murph was just giving a speech. There were 10, there were a dozen guys. They were all here last year. We're bringing back the same team. It's like, well, minus your most productive hitter and a guy who played 161 games at shortstop, or, you know, we only traded one guy away. It's like, okay, well, through that lens, sure, but what about the guy who walked? And it's fine that they let Willie go. I wouldn't have given him that deal, but you didn't bring in, well, we don't really have any holes other than third base, I guess. Well, yeah, but that's a hole. Like, that's a legit. So some of the things that he said about the lack of spending or their offseason, I thought that was way worse than some kind of like Brett Favre self-indulgent, like rhetorical thing that Bob Nightingale happened to clip.
Yeah. All right, dude, you keep going. Okay. But I gotta jump, unfortunately.
Well, it's nice to see you, Paul.
You guys as well. I'm going to give you one last Kevin Burkhardt. Here you go. Very good. Good callback.
Goodbye, Paul.
Bye, dudes.
Do you have anything else you need to talk about, Bart?
Well, no, but we're on a mandate to keep talking.
But yeah, possibly we keep going. He's going to jump. We'll keep going.
I mean, it's February 20th. I'm surprised we got 40 minutes out of anything.
Have you talked about the hockey thing at all on your show?
Yes. At the beginning, I said, what is this? It makes no sense. But like the NBA Cup, people have, you know, if you buy into it, it's just a matter of people buy into it. Are they buying too much into it? I don't know. What I was explained to was that these pros don't really get the chance to do this. Mm-hmm. The Olympics are younger guys, so this means a lot to them. So it means a lot, and I can respect that. But if the USA wins or if Canada wins, what does it change? They won the Four Nations tournament. Okay. It's getting more attention because of the time of the year that we're in.
Sure. That's okay.
Just like, did you see last night, Missouri, I think the Missouri coach, they beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. He grabbed the PA mic and he says, there's 1.5 seconds left. They're up 10. Guys, do not storm the court. And then everyone's like, oh no. And then they still won. And they, you know, there was no court storming. But do you remember last year when Kyle Filipowski was brutally murdered,
mangled
on the hardwood, and then came back to life 3 days later? And I remember that was February 24th. So that was after the Super Bowl, then after the, how do we change the All-Star game week? And then we didn't have anything to talk about for a week. And then there was a court storming. So everybody overdid it. So this tournament's getting more attention just because of lack of things that are going on. I mean, it's so bad that in our update last night, the guy put in CONCACAF Champions League. Yeah. Lionel Messi scored against Sporting KC.
I just think the players buy in, so we buy in. You know what I mean?
And that's fine. I'm not going to say, you know, don't enjoy it. Don't like, you know, don't have pride for your country.
Are you telling me to not love my country?
I'm telling you to enjoy hockey in its purest form.
Yeah, I'll probably watch some tonight. It'll be fun.
I think I'll have to. People have been calling about it. I have to talk about it.
Well, and I also think it's interesting. This is one of my least favorite weeks of sports talk of the year, because it's like, the All-Star game sucked. The NBA All-Star game sucked. I hate it. Let's spend 3 hours talking about how much it sucks and how we can fix it. It's like, well, let's just talk about something else then. Let's talk about anything else. You know what I mean? If we hate it that much, just don't watch it. Talk about something else.
I should. So I remember last year, the All-Star game happened, and then I did like a whole show. It's like my fifth week on this new show. And I did I'm still getting to know everybody and trying to still figure out what I can do, what I can get away with, you know, what kind of show I can do. So I'm like, okay. And I took suggestions for 4 hours. And then I said we should change or All-Star changes, whatever. And the phone lines, they lit up. And I go, okay, I will take these calls. We will do one segment on this.
I like that.
And then I am done. And then we're never doing anything like this again. So I took the calls, and the ideas were just as bad as you would think. Hey, yeah, my son, they do this like hybrid 3-on-3 tournament where they have four guys, and it would be really cool to see the pros. Well, now we're talking 3-on-3 tournaments, and it's just the worst ideas you could come up with. One guy called in to say where they finish in the All-Star Game tournament should be what all-team NBA they are then on at the end of the year. And I go, guys, I have done a lot to get here. Okay. I go, I'm still not sure why I was put on this earth, but I know the path that I've taken, the long hours I had, you know, as a TV, whatever, the this. And I get here. I just know that I am not in this body to sit here and be a phone jockey over and over for some of the worst ideas I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
So we are never doing this again.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that. Once you realize that, like, no one gives a fuck about what you say, your show can get pretty interesting. It's not that anyone liberating. Will hear it.
I would imagine. I don't know. I just don't like that. They should do that. They should look. The players don't care. And that's fine. They don't have to care. Then I won't watch.
Yeah, I got a great idea. Make them care.
Well, that's, you know, that's the actual $1 million question. Is there any reason that they would care?
We don't even need them to, like, care. We just need them to not make a joke of it.
Well, and what's annoying is when the players so obviously don't care and they're open about not caring. And then afterwards, they want to complain about the format, or they want to complain, well, everyone just loves bitching about it. It's like, because you guys turn it into a fucking joke, which is fine. I won't watch it, but then don't get all defensive. Like, you guys got to own it. You got to wear it. Like, hey, we're the league with the shit All-Star game. Like, you have to wear that if that's going to be your approach. You can't blame the commissioner or the format, and you sure as shit can't blame us. You guys just love to hate. Well, stop making it so easy then, you know?
I wondered what was going to happen with that trophy. Kyrie's like, can I keep it? And the guys are like, sure.
I don't.
So Kyrie's got the trophy. Kyrie. I say Kyrie like Troy Aikman says Green Bay.
Kyrie. Like Caillou.
I always say YouTube on air and people don't understand it.
You Midwest bumpkin.
I'm a piece of shit. Grant, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks. I feel like we probably could have wrapped it up when Paul jumped, but we gave it a good old college try for a couple of minutes. Not saying it was bad. I just never really found a groove. It's fine. It's not the worst thing we've ever done, but
I thought we had a nice little conversation.
It was fine. It was good. I liked the story about your show the other night. That was worthwhile. I didn't add anything.
Great. adios.